wonderful to go to God's Word and then to sing praises unto God that are scriptural, that are based upon the Word, that we can put in our minds prayer. Appreciate the song before the lesson. As we've voted ourselves this today with the idea of prayer, of answered prayer, and we sing a song, He Does, and we see all the ingredients into how God answers our prayer and how He will give us the things that we ask for, especially if they're according to His will. And I think that concept is seen pretty well in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 14 through 15. The Bible says, now this is the confidence, there's confidence, that we have in Him, meaning in Christ, that if we ask anything according to His will, this is God's will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Look at those ingredients that are there. Whatever we ask, that if we ask anything, what is it? According to His will, He hears us. It's according to His will, and we're asking for things, He hears us. And here's the assurance. And we know if He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we also know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. We have them. And realize they come from God. And so what are we observing in this piece? We're taking the fact that we ask anything. It's going to be according to His will. And we know that He hears us. And when we know He hears us, we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. That's how it works. And we've talked about sometimes we may have to wait a while for prayer to be answered. And what a great example we saw this morning in David. In 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, he knew what God's will was already before he prayed. We saw that this morning. They said, because of what you and Bathsheba did, and because of your action, you caused the enemies to blaspheme, the child will die. That's God's will. He knew that. But here is the petitions that he's making unto God. For those 7 days, he's not eating, he's weeping, he's on the ground, and he's not going to get up and go with the people, not going to eat with them. Could God change his mind, and I will receive my petitions that I ask? Now, was he sinning to do that? Wasn't praying according to God's will? But he's going to God. Maybe you could reduce, God, the number of people. If I just have 10 righteous people, 30 righteous people, we're going to destroy. Could we lower that and you still save it? So we're not going against God's will. And I think this is evident, because when the child died, what did he do? Got up on the ground. He washed himself, anointed himself, changed his apparel. And before he would go and eat, he went to worship God. And he explained to them, I thought as those days while I was weeping, while I was petitioning God, while I was going through that, that God would spare his life. Maybe he would change his mind. But what showed that he was going with God's will? He didn't blame God. I appreciate the prayer today. Don't blame him. A great example of David. We'll worship God and realize that there's God's will, and I'm okay with it. And we move on. And that's what I want us to bring together this evening, because sometimes the prayers that are answered are not the prayers we requested. And there's examples of that in the Bible. But we see these areas. We ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, it's according to his will, we have the petitions we've asked. That's the point that's been made. But sometimes what we ask for is not something that was given to us, but he heard our prayer and he answered it. 1 John is dealing with the fact of giving us assurance that if it's all according to God's will, we'll get what we ask. But God's will kick in these examples. And what you'll see is that God will bring blessing to the people. And he will that to you in your prayers that you have. and you give unto God. So I want to look at some unanswered prayers in the Bible. I think David is a good one of that, but we're going to look at some more this evening. And we'll start with Elijah. Elijah prayed and requested that he might die. That was his prayer. In 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and verse 4, we'll notice that Jezebel was on the hunt to destroy him. He was feeling low. We understand that. He was discouraged, and he's praying. In verse 4, he went on a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Jehovah, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." That's feeling pretty low. He's praying. He's praying to Jehovah. And he's all alone, said, "This is what I want for myself, God, that I will die." Well, if you ask anything according to God's will, he heareth us, and when he hears us, we'll get the request that we made. But that's not how it turned out. He wants him to be able to stand up against the evil that was with him, with Jezebel and Ahab. And he needed to get on with the king's business we sung about in our singing classes, our singing services this evening. But we go ahead, what happened to him? He did not die. In 2 Kings, the second chapter, we read that the day when he and Elisha, they are together, what an interesting time where, you know, they parted the Jordan River and they got to the other side, all these miraculous things are taking place. And in 2nd chapter in verse 11, we read this. "It came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which parted them both asunder. And Elijah died." Elijah got his request. God heard his prayer. I say he heard his request. He heard his prayer. But that wasn't his will. He took him into heaven. He never died. Body and all went. Now, did he go straight to heaven? Flesh and blood came and inherit the kingdom of heaven. He might have been in a glorified, state. I don't know how God does that. But he didn't die. Well, he died. No, God took him. He was caught up into that. Into that, we had chariots of fire and the horses. It's just interesting to see how Elisha says, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof," as if Elijah has been our defense. He has the blessings of God. He's the one that can help us. And now he's gone. But he realized how important Elijah was. And Elisha would have that power as well, as he would do his work for God. But there's a sense that God didn't grant him what he requested, but he blessed him even more, and that he was taken up into the whirlwind. What God did with him, separate the body, I don't know, but for his death, separation of the body, he did not die like he thought he was under that juniper tree. And so there's prayers that are not answered, but you have the will of the Father involved, and our God is wonderful that he wanted more glory than for him to have his life taken that day. We have another example in the Bible. It's Job. Job wanted to be destroyed by God. We're looking at people that, you know, here Bible characters, Elijah and Job, and how wonderful they are. They had their moments where they were despondent, they were saddened. And we can learn a lot about those lessons, especially in our culture where euthanasia is a blessing to people who are in this condition. You get so depressed, you get so old, and life doesn't mean anything to you. then, you know, you can be asking things like this, and we'll just do it for you in our society. But Job said, I want you to destroy me. Why would I say that? Verse 89 of chapter 6, oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant for me the thing that I long for. I long to be what? Crush me. Cut me off. Even that that if it would please God, you know, it's all right with you, God, your will. If it please God to crush me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Here he's suffering through all the pain that he's going through. And as Elijah, I'm not greater than my fathers, let me go, let me die. He's going to sell it. God's going to exalt him. And Job is one that's having his moments as well. When you realize how evil creeps into a culture, you think about our culture today. Job is a perfect example of someone that would be, let's let him die. Let's give him some medicine so it's painless, and let's take him out of here. Because our culture had been killing babies for a long time. And they're still doing it. Our nation is still doing that. And we realize that here's happening every day. You know, 67 million since all the legality happened. What was that about? It was about, we will determine if your life is valuable enough to live. And that's the baby. She has to rely on somebody else saying, my life is worth something, or it's not worth anything, and therefore we can take, the mother can, let's take the baby. How do we do that? Well, we'll cut them up in pieces. That's so gross. It's happening all the time. And if we don't see it, countries are doing that and selling the remains for vaccines and all those things. We don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. And how did that get into our culture? God's the one that gives life, but we've determined that we can take it with abortion. And when those arguments were made in the 70s, they say it won't be long, you'll be killing old people too. And that's okay with our culture as well. It's too much money to pay the insurance, and for you to get that particular, you know, help, whatever you need, we'll say that for somebody else. It's all right for you to move along. And we say, well, I want to die. God did not let Job die. And Job did not know what was behind the scenes, because God had already told the devil, you will not touch his life. And yet Job in our culture said he would be the one, he doesn't want to live anymore. We've been killing the babies, let's kill the old people too. Or the older people. And it's so sad that only God has the right to do that. But that's not our culture. And we look at Job and look at Elijah, why wouldn't you let him die, God? Because it wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's will. And here are two people that are very despondent, and God would not let them die. In fact, gave them and blessed them more than they thought they deserved. I know, greater than my fathers, I'll take you straight to heaven. I'll take you in a whirlwind. You're not going to die. Job, what are we going to do with you? The 42nd chapter. Tell you what God did with him, because Job did not die. And he didn't get his request. His prayer was not answered to be completely cut off. But he's the one that's going to pray for the others who thought he was such a sinner. God is showing that Job is indeed the righteous man that he was, and Job is repenting of the things he had said about God. But in verse 12, Jehovah blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, that's double of what he had before. 6,000 camels, that's double of what he had before. And 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses, that's double what he had before. He also has 7 sons, that's exactly what he had before. and 3 daughters, 10 children. Maybe 20 children's too much for anybody. God knows. But he got his 10 children, 7 boys, 3 daughters. And he's blessed his latter end rather than the first. What lessons to learn about prayer? And sometimes we make requests that in that moment, that's what we long for. That's what Job, I long for this. And God doesn't answer that. But he will answer according to his will, and it is more blessing than they thought they deserved at the time when they're wanting to be destroyed and die. And I think that's instructive. But we're looking at God's will stepping in and doing something even greater than you thought you ever deserved. Moses is a good example of this prayer. Deuteronomy, the 3rd chapter, verses 23 through 25. He wanted to go over into the land of Canaan. And I besought Jehovah at that time, saying, verse 24, O Lord Jehovah, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to all thy mighty acts? Let me go over, I pray thee, and see the good land that is beyond the Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. I want to go over there and walk the grounds. I want to see the good land. I'd like to touch it with my feet and experience that. But Jehovah was wroth with me for your sakes. This Moses now recounting. Mad at him because he asked that prayer? No. He's mad at him what caused him, God, to answer the way he does. Jehovah was wroth with me for your sakes and hearkened not unto me. And Jehovah said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. That's instructive. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and behold with thine eyes, not with your walking feet. You're not going over there, but you can see it. For thou shalt not go over this Jordan. You just encourage Joshua. He's the one that's taking him over. Now that he blessed him. He could see all the distances from Mount Pisgah. He could see the land. But his sin was such, this was not according to God's will. In fact, he answers his request, say, I don't want to hear any more from you on that. That's enough. And he got to see it, but he didn't get to go over Jordan. He let anger get in the way for him and wanting something he wanted to do. That caused the making rash statements that he made, disobeying God's clear command. Speak to the rock. He struck it out of anger. And therefore, that's why God was wroth with him. Consequences of sin, consequences of action. But even that moment, while he didn't answer his prayer that Moses prays, it wasn't according to his will, and he let him know it. He got to see it. That's the blessing. Did God answer his prayer? Didn't answer what he requested, but he answered his prayer. Because, see, it's according to God's will. That's how it was answered. And it can be delayed for 7 days with David, or it may be very immediate when you're asking for that to be told. He doesn't go back for 7 days and keep praying like David did. David didn't know. Moses did. But he was indeed blessed in the sense that he got to see it before he passed away. One that we're really familiar with is Paul. And we go to the New Testament in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh is. Some commentators says it was ungodly members of the church that didn't like Paul. He had some enemies in Corinth about that. Some said it was a physical problem, thorn in the flesh, and sense that probably eyesight, that sort of thing he had difficulty with. It was something that was a thorn, it was hurtful, it was painful, and he wanted it taken out of the way. He wanted that to be done. And we'll find that he prays to God about this and speaks about how that God would do that. So we're in that request of prayer part here. So we pick up let's start by verse 7. By reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelation, he got to go third heaven, see things you can't talk about and see, that I should not be exalted over much, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Which I think is something physical, not necessarily brethren causing trouble with him, but one in the flesh. It's a messenger of Satan to buffet me that I should not be exalted over much. And so concerning this thing, I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now God gave it to him, so he wouldn't be exalted over much. Tells me how annoying it was, tells me how painful it was, and Paul prays to God three times to take it out of the way, take it from me. And what we see in verse 9 is that he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's okay with God's will. Was his prayer answered? Thorn in the flesh was not taken away. But what was God's will in the matter? This was to humble him. That was God's will. He didn't get what he wanted. Let's get rid of it. But what did Paul do? He realized this is fine because I now can be one that said, well, we don't glory in Paul. He's not the rabbi we want to follow. That's not the one we're going to follow after. And that caused him more power. In fact, here's what I'm saying to you is indeed the truth. My grace is sufficient. You can handle that with my grace. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Because the power of the word is there. Not the personality of Paul. Not the outward look of Paul. And there again is God answering prayer. He heard the prayer. Wasn't, well, I reject it because you're full of iniquity. He heard the prayer of an apostle. And the apostle Paul, it says, I want it taken out of the way. No, we're going to leave that. And here is the benefit from it. God explained that to him. So there's unanswered prayers in the Bible. But every time we see one of these, God blesses them. David was blessed with Solomon after that child died. And we're seeing that Elijah and Joel, they are honored, they're blessed in a way God wanted to be done. So we come to the final one, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son of God. If you turn with me to Matthew, the 26th chapter, he's praying earnestly in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying that if it be thy will, that's the key, if it be thy will, take this cup from me, that I don't want to drink this cup. It's not the Lord's Supper cup. It's not anything like that. It's a cup of suffering. It's a metaphor. I'm going to drink it. And he was facing death. He was not going. So he's on the verge of backing out of his deal. He knew he came to this earth for that. He's not afraid of that. He's just showing that human side that if it's possible for this to change, you know, if it be thy will, do this. And that's what Jesus was saying because it was such a painful thing to have to undergo. But he did that. And that's where we watch and pray. Peter, they're sleepy and they can't watch with him. It was very important to Jesus. But we pick up in verse 38 where he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Abide ye here and watch with me. Because he knew death was ahead and it was such a horrible thing. He needed the strength from God. He went forward a little and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. There's a true suffering of someone facing the pains of crucifixion. And yet at the same time, the Father's will, and I am sorrowful even unto death because I know the pain that's going to be there. He prays three times. And the Bible said his prayer was heard. No, he died. He didn't want to go through that suffering. Yeah, he suffered. Scourging. Being thirsty. Being spat upon. Being humiliated. We said at the Lord's table today, all the things that he went through. But in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, we find a very interesting passage of what the inspired writer of Hebrews says about Christ. And I think the way we're understanding these other prayers, we'll understand this one too. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, in verse 7, after Jesus is recognized as the Melchizedek, one indeed who lives forever, he takes us back to the days of his flesh. He said, who in the days of his flesh, not Melchizedek, but Jesus, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying, we see that in the garden, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him. That's God Almighty. That's the Father. That's who he's praying to. Save him from what? Death. Oh, God could send legions of angels, but he didn't. He could save him from death. He didn't do that. But he was heard. His prayer was heard for his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things he suffered. He was said, I'm getting ready to take my finals about pain and suffering and what it's going to take to save men from their sins. And he learned it by experience. That's what God did. But he heard his prayer, and he heard it in the sense for his godly fear, godly reverence. He's appealing to the Father. If there's a possible way of avoiding this, but it's not my will, thy will be done. If we're going to go through this, and he's just taking the pain, the sweat, drops of blood, and their disciples are sleeping just when you need them. And that's what is occurring. His prayer was heard. So what was grace in that? He died. He was crucified. He went through that. But he's only on the cross 6 hours. When I look at history, you might stay on there a whole day. I knew it was surprising to them because they went because they wanted to heighten the death and rush it up a little bit because of the Sabbath. And because of the feast days they were going through. What did they do? They broke the legs of those on the cross. Did they break Jesus' legs? No. Why? Because he's already dead. That didn't always happen that way. What I see is God answering his prayer. Not that you're not going to go through suffering. That's how you're going to learn obedience. That's the cost of obedience. And Jesus did that for us. He did that for you and for me. Our sins put him on there. On the cross. And what we're seeing is that he was heard. He was heard, and God gave him some grace. He felt the pain. I thirst. And it's finished. Because I finished what, Father, you wanted me to do. I'm giving up the spirit. I'm dying. But his prayer was heard. And his prayer was answered. In a way that is interesting because he died quicker than others did. But he experienced all of that pain. Prayer was answered, but not according to his will, but according to the Father's will. And that indeed was a blessing. Job was blessed double. Got 10 kids back, start over. Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind. Paul was able to use that to exalt the word of God. And what prayers are you offering unto God these days? And one of the things that we're learning here is to understand that 1 John 4 and verse 15, we ask anything. If it's according to God's will, he hears us. We have the petitions we ask. But each one of these examples, they didn't get what they were asking for in the prayer. But his prayer was heard. The whole Hebrew, his prayer was heard. He was heard. Oh, he didn't hear him because he was separated. He was just too horrible to be the sin offering. He was separated from God. You know, it doesn't say that. Well, God couldn't look upon him because he's a sinful one. God received my spirit. That sounds like somebody separated. He was doing the will of God on that cross. And he wasn't going to back out doing it either. As some claim that I tell you, there's our eternal salvation. It was on the line right there because he didn't know if he's going to go through it or not. He's going through it all the time. It's the suffering. He wanted us to see that was suffering. But he was blessed. He was heard. And there was a blessing there. But all of that was according to God's will. And I'm so happy when I hear prayer according to your will. We want people to be sick according to your will. Because what happened? Wonder if they don't survive. We'll be here to worship, not blame God. Because that wasn't his will. That's how we pray. And we may be asking for the wrong things. And that's what we saw this morning, Matthew 7. Here's the Father. He'll give us good gifts. He'll give you something in place of that. Maybe teach you some humility. And you'll be a blessing unto God. It's according to your will, God. And if we're okay with that, we can petition him for anything that we think we need. But he'll always give us what we ask for. So when you ask for a Ferrari and you haven't gotten it yet, God's blessing you. You didn't need it. You don't need it. But make me a servant. Make me one like Lord. Make me learn obedience by having to suffer for the cause. God, if that's the case, so be it. Use me. Use me. And that's what will help us in our prayers. So I hope that when you go to God in prayer, you may change his mind. But we realize, God, if it's your will, this is what I would like. I'd like the child to live. God, I'm so despondent right now. I'm going to you in prayer. I want to die. I want to die. This is my I'm longing for this. God just takes that and takes it to another level and blesses us, but doesn't give in to what we wanted. And Jesus knew he's going to have to die. But if it's possible, God, I'm praying, he's going through the suffering. God blessed him. He heard his prayer. And there was a lesson for Jesus to learn as well. That was for our benefit. So that we'll realize that indeed we may have to go through suffering as Christians do. But I hope that helps us in our prayer because all those ingredients are there. They've got to be there. But if we are asking something that we think is important and God says, no, it's not, I'm going to give something differently, I'll wait on the Lord to see what that is. One time, I'm praying twice, I'm praying three times. But I'm not going to give up praying when I don't have that answer and realize that it may still be something that God's going to work out in his time. That's fine. But that's the type of praying we ought to do. And that's why we can come and we can pray, and all of the things that we pray for, we can do so with thanksgiving, because there's a lot of things God blesses us with. But God, I want you to bless me this time more. This is what I want. But it'll be according to your will. And talk to God and have relationship with him. And what I'm seeing in all of these things about prayer is that it's going to demand faith. If you have any doubts and all that, God's ability, it takes faith. He knows what we have need of before we ask. So just petition him with long prayers. That's not the point. But we can keep on asking, and because we haven't received it yet, we're not going to give up. Our faith is going to remain there. We're going to remain strong in prayer and steadfast in prayer. But we know we may have to wait. It may be a definite no. And I may not be getting it answered because, as you saw this morning, I'm not living right. And there's a lot of things that we need to pay attention to that. But putting all that together, I think we can be busy praying, getting more blessings from God, having doors open, but realize that indeed it's all going to be according to God's will, and we're happy with that. But we have our moments where we're despondent. We have our moments when we have sick folks, our family, have people on the verge of death, and we want them to live. We want them to be blessed. We want them to get well. We can keep praying, but one day they'll die. And that's okay too, because we realize that God is blessing us, and there's lessons to learn in that whole process of life and death. And I hope we can learn that. But don't stop praying. Pray steadfastly and make that a habit in your life, but pray according to His will. This evening, if you're not a child of God yet, you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. This very night you could. Here Jesus died for you. He's raised for our justification. He's exalted in heaven, and He's opening the way through the gospel for us to have salvation from our sins. Come confessing your sins that, indeed, I want to come to Christ for forgiveness. I believe He's the Son of God. And make that good confession of who He is. And we can baptize you into Christ. And you can start living the life where God's going to listen to your prayers. And you can be a servant of Him all the rest of your life. And to have heaven as your home. If you haven't started that role, we want to encourage you to start it. And if you want some encouragement and the brethren could pray for you at this difficult time, let us know. Come, and we'll have prayer because we know how powerful it is. So if you need to respond anyway, come as we stand and sing.